Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pat Noga, Senior Director of Clinical Affairs at the Massachusetts Hospital Association. Thank you for joining us today for the webinar entitled M-Link, Building an Effective Hospital Mortality Program, a Focus on Structures and Processes. I'd like to introduce our speakers for today's session. I will be giving you an introduction, and then our speakers will be in this order: Cynthia Page, Vice President, Clinical Support Services at Milton Hospital; Janice Fitzgerald, Director, Quality and Medical Management, Division of Healthcare Quality at Bay State Medical Center; Elmi Trevejo, Senior Consultant for Quality Programs; and David Morales, DLAN Fellow in Healthcare and Society from Brigham and Women's Hospital. Okay, the objectives for today's program: provide an overview of the M-Link Hospital Mortality Review Program self-assessment tool, highlight successful aspects of hospital mortality programs, and also discuss application of the M-Link tool to assess and monitor hospital mortality program development. This work in the M-Link program is actually part of MHA's statewide performance improvement agenda, where we're focusing collectively on improving safety, efficiency, and quality. And the goal is to improve quality by reducing the in-hospital mortality rate. So we've been in the process of building this M-Link program. It's as a peer-based learning opportunity for hospitals to identify best practices correlated with a reduction in mortality, adopt system supports used in high reliability organizations given their needs, and implement protocols to identify and differentially treat high-risk patients. And just a brief overview, M-Link, or the Mortality Learning and Network, will be offering you a portfolio of educational events and programs to help you improve structures, processes, and outcomes to reduce hospital mortality. And the presentation today is part of our focus on structures and processes. The Hospital Mortality Program Self-Assessment Tool, which you did receive along with the slides, actually was developed in response to suggestions and input from many of the hospitals to provide a framework for use that they could use in developing or enhancing existing programs for reducing inpatient mortality. And it has been developed from available evidence and national and local information on effective program components related to reductions in hospital mortality. There are three main sections of the mortality program: culture of quality improvement for mortality reduction, mortality risk assessment and surveillance, and then standardization and reliability of clinical processes. And you will see that encompassed in them are 10 criteria, and then totaling a total of 50 elements. And we just want to show you in the next two slides the actual headers with the criteria. So you see on this first slide the culture of quality improvement for mortality reduction, and then there's a number of elements below that, followed by number two, mortality risk assessment and surveillance. And you can see the components of that. And then lastly, standardization and reliability of clinical processes. So what we have here, which you should have also received, is the actual mortality program self-assessment tool that, like I said earlier, we've developed, and it should be used for you as you assess your program internally. And in terms of developing a comprehensive hospital mortality review program, we're hoping that the framework will be providing a guide for identifying. Hospitals, depending upon where you're at and how you want to proceed to further integrate key elements of a comprehensive mortality program. Okay. And you know, in our work with developing this tool so far and getting feedback from everyone, we're recommending the use of the tool as a starting point to assess your baseline performance, and then we plan to adapt the tool as we continue to assess the effectiveness of the framework and the criteria, and as we hear feedback from our hospitals as they apply it over time. Okay, I will be turning the program over to Cindy Page in just one moment. I did want to let you know that we would like to hold questions and answers to the end of the program. We're going to be really trying to move along because time is of the essence and you have three more speakers coming. In the meantime, if you did want to chat in any questions on the screen, please do that, and we will keep track of them here and attempt to address them during the program. So now I will turn the program over to Cindy Page, who will present on hospital mortality program, application of the self-assessment tool for mortality program development.
Thank you very much. What I wanted to talk a little bit today was really about the focus of this tool and how it can be used to help focus on hospital mortality. Obviously, as many of you probably have felt the pain, there are a number of definitional documentation and coding issues that make comparisons of mortality rates among institutions problematic. So really it's about institutions looking and trying to shift focus from retrospective analysis of what's happened to prospective approach of the identification, rapid response, and prevention of hospital deaths. It's really looking at system integration of mortality into hospital strategic goals for quality and safety. So when you're looking at tracking mortality, it's really, again, changing that focus from improvement to reporting or what can we do to reduce it versus why did it happen? Really looking at an internal focused effort. Looking at making this an organizational focus. Looking at what are the expectations that ongoing improvement efforts will impact mortality. Asking questions. And looking at tracking mortality data over time on key populations with benchmarks for performance. I wanted to share just a quick example with you in regards to our rapid response program. Is some of the data that we gathered for 2010 on our acute care floors, we actually had 293 rapid responses last year. We only had one inpatient code. Unfortunately, that inpatient code was unsuccessful because many times if you don't identify things early enough, things do transpire and you don't have the best outcomes. But we were, when we took a look at the data, we were quite impressed by how few codes we had. We further dug into the data and we found that 86% of those patients that rapid responses were called on stayed in the room and continued on with their care. 14% went on to the ICU. And really, as we presented this data amongst all of the stakeholders within the hospital, questions started to emerge, and really when we were sitting down with the medical executive committee, it was really looking at how do we know we're just not transferring people to the unit, and once they get there, that they're going on and expiring from there. And that really helps to define what are key populations. So right now, one of our key populations is really patients who are transferred to our ICU after rapid responses and looking at what are the outcomes within that that population and try to identify are there some strategies within that population that we can improve to improve the outcome of those patient experiences. So when you're looking at the structural elements of the tool, Really what the tool is it's a listing of suggested criteria for building an effective program or identifying what is your program within your hospital. And it includes integrating systems, clinical practices, and strategies for preventing and recognizing and treating patient conditions and events at risk. As was stated before, the framework includes 10 core criteria with 50 elements of suggested actions within each criterion. There is also an other section within the self-assessment tool that includes any criteria elements most relevant to your work on mortality that are not currently represented in the self-assessment tool. And when you look at the tool at first glance, it can be overwhelming. And as we looked at it within our facility, really what we looked at and the advice I can give to others when you look at this is really just look at it, take a quick assessment, go through, and what we found was that we were able to say yes, no, and then there were some of the different criteria that you may say, I think we have a little bit of it, or yes, we've definitely started it, and that will help you rather than going into deep analysis each time you look at it. And what we quickly found was that many of the criterion or the suggestions are really action items related to other initiatives that all of us have undertaken over the last several years relative to healthcare-associated infections, reducing medication errors, and really what we talked about as we went through this was really what we're talking about is identifying all of those initiatives that we put together and really adding the words. Not only did we do it to reduce hospital-acquired infections, but we also did it to reduce mortality and to reduce the potential for harm. Really, it gives you an opportunity to reflect on what you're doing for those other initiatives and how they impact mortality. That's a real key. So once you do the assessment tool and you add up what your basic scores are, this gives you an ability to really look at what stage you're in or putting a name on kind of what your program looks at this point. It's a really, so you're going to finish and you're going to interpret what that means. And really the key is how are you going to use the data that you gather from this tool. At Milton, what we found was that our interpretation was that we were at a stage 3. And our response or how we plan to use the tool or how we may use the tool is really to set goals, look at do we need to add new initiatives, how are we doing with our mortality rate relative to the processes that we've put in place. With the staging really is, it helps to depict the stage of development of a comprehensive program. It's really a continuum, stage 1 being the most basic of programs, to a stage 5 being the most robust system. And it's measured by the amount of criteria completed or addressed upon your self-assessment. And when you look at the definitions of the stages, and when we looked at the definition of the stages, we really felt that stage 3 was a good definition of where we were at and where we want to go to in terms of stage 4. We have what we feel is an effective measurement system, but what we don't have right now that you see within stage 4 is really monitoring across key target populations and having the benchmarks for those key target populations. We're not that sophisticated at this time, but obviously that's a goal that we would like to attain. So when we looked at the tool, just to give you some perspective on what we found that we had that we felt very strongly about is under the leadership and culture section, we felt that we definitely had we've definitely set mortality reduction as a strategic goal for our organization. Our medical leadership staff and the board review mortality measures and performance. We share that with our board of directors. Under risk assessment and surveillance, We have a process in place to analyze individual inpatient deaths on a regular basis. Being a small hospital, we review 100% of all deaths. Under the section of standardization, reliability of clinical processes, we identified many items that we are doing within the institution. Some of the highlighted areas are that we have implementation of many of the clinical bundles. We have implementation of the rapid response teams. We've put in a lot of improvements in the care of stroke patients. We've implemented anticoagulation protocols. And we've expanded and continued to integrate the use of our hospitals. And in summary, in November of 2010, when we were presenting much of this data to our board of directors, our vice president of patient and quality summarized what our objectives were, I think, very clearly. At the end of the day, it's really about making it easier to consistently do the right things and harder to do the wrong things. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Jan Fitzgerald. Were you ready to go? Did I get disconnected?
I'm so sorry, Jan. This is Elmi Trevejo. I'm left on the line with you. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. So, should we call back in?
Okay.
Ladies, you are connected to the line. I'm terribly sorry. The speakers were on mute for a moment, but they are back.
Okay. And how do I advance the slides?
It's okay. We'll advance it for you,
okay.
Jan.
Perfect. Okay, great. So, I just want to thank MHA for giving me the opportunity to really talk about our structure and process here at Bay State Medical Center. Next, please. And I have a lot of information here, and a lot of it is obviously in the slide, so I'm not going to go through it all, but I really just wanted to pull out some key points. If I could have the next slide, it would be great. And the next slide. And, you know, Bay State is a fairly large hospital. We are a tertiary care referral center, and what comes with that is a lot of patients who are transferred to us for higher intensity services and care, and that's one of the pieces that we have to manage as we really try to wrestle with reducing our mortality rate. Next, please. Next. Next. Perfect. I just want to, Cynthia was really hitting the nail on the head when she talked about this work that we're trying to move forward with MHA. It's really a continuation of a lot of work that many hospitals, not only in Massachusetts, but across the country have done. So it does two things. One, it continues to keep emphasis on these important prevention and intervention strategies around reducing harm and optimizing care as well as reducing mortality, but it really does keep patients in the middle of it. So it's a nice validation, and it's a way of just continuing the focus and really ratcheting down things that you either have in place or you need to continue to focus on. Next, please. So one of the successes that any hospital needs to one of the ways to be successful is to have a process in place. Now, whether you use the PDSA, the PDCA, the lean methodologies, you really need to have a structure to be able to move forward. For Bay State Medical Center, we've been very fortunate. We have teams that are focused on population-based care, whether it's reduction of harm or execution of reliable evidence-based care, and we have support. The coaches, the measurement, the setting the goals and setting the framework to really move forward, and obviously the patient is right in the middle of it. And this is really key to our success, is really using reliable principles with a straightforward, rigorous framework that we apply, and I'll provide some examples as we move forward. Next, please. When you think about what happens to patients in the hospital, it really can be bucketed into these three things. We either underuse something, including not identifying early enough that the patient's going down the clinical cascade. We overuse something, most of the time a device that may be the trigger for a hospital-acquired condition or hospital-acquired infection. Or we misuse something, looking at lack of adherence to false risk assessment or policy and procedures around preventing patients from falling or getting other harm while they're with us. Next, please. So when we began looking at mortality, we actually looked at the diagnostic that was promoted by the IHI, and it really gave us some areas to focus on. We had patients that were in our intensive care units who were comfort measures who really may not have been best served by being in there. We also had a lot of patients who were really out on the clinical units where we really weren't doing a good job identifying the end-of-life decision-making around what should happen and what shouldn't happen. That really helped us with a lot of our transfer issues as we received patients into our tertiary care center. Next, please. As you start looking at those last 50 deaths, there's some patterns and some trends that really come forward, and we were able to actually craft this driver diagram to help us refine and focus our work. And as we began our mortality reduction, we really did look at these individual areas and designed processes as well as measures that we would implement as well as track. And we continue to focus on these things because, you know, one thing about a lot of these processes and measures and initiatives, they don't go away. You know, it takes a long time to embed them into the course of care as well as the culture of your organization. So you really need to support people going forward and make sure that they know that the measurement strategy is still there and they're going to be held accountable for continuing to move forward and once they've improved to sustain those improvements. Next, please. So at Bay State, we really have been trying to focus on the potentially preventable events based on the patients that we get. And we obviously have focused on adverse drug events, as Cynthia referred to, as well as the hospital-acquired conditions, not only the infections but other things. And then just looking at the population-based mortalities, you know, and things come up as you're kind of looking at these patients. We do 100% chart review as well. And things that have kind of surfaced, and we feel validated since MHA is going to be focusing on sepsis, but a couple other populations that have come up were chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and patients who have unknown obstructive sleep apnea, where we don't know they have it, we do an acute procedure, we treat them appropriately, and that is their trigger point to begin to have postoperative complications and issues. Next, please. So with that 4x4 diagnostic, there's actually some suggestions or recommendations on things that you should put in place based on your findings. And this was kind of our roadmap. That, along with our driver diagram, really got us off the diving board quickly and out of the gate fairly quickly a few years back. Next, please. Now, two other things that are key that Cynthia again alluded to is you need to have senior leadership on board. Part of Bay State Health is making sure that mortality, effectiveness, safety, and now readmissions are really embedded into the strategic goals and missions for everybody. And you see, based on those, we have very specific thresholds, targets, and maximums. So everybody knows what the clear-cut goal is as well as what the expectation is. So everybody is really owning part of the execution and the improvement of focus around where we want to go. Next. The other thing I would just make sure that as you move forward you think about is making sure that you have the information and it moves up and down the cascade from the bedside up to the senior leadership so that the information is known by everybody and the focus areas are known by everybody because we are clearly more successful together than we are alone. So we have cascading information. It goes up and down, and this is very key to our success. Information is posted on nursing units, and it's also reviewed at the highest levels of leadership based on goals, missions, targets, and where we are. Next. This is an example of our dashboard, and this is now electronic, and it's available across Bay State Health, so anybody who has access to the hospital, regardless of what position or what they do to help us care for patients, can look and see how we're doing. So it's been very powerful for everybody because it's very transparent, and the fact that it's there really sends a message that this is one of our key things around being successful in reducing mortality. Next, please. Quest, Bay State is a premier hospital. Part of Quest is reducing mortality, and we are very happy. When we started with Quest 2 years ago, we were actually almost as expected. Since we've been focusing on our mortality reductions, we've actually been able to move into the top 25% of the Quest hospitals, a pretty competitive group around the country. So our work is really making a difference. And not only is it making a difference on our statistics and our quality reputation, but it really is making a difference, obviously, to our patients. And we're seeing probably between 10 and 20 patients a month that probably shouldn't have had harm or a death that we've been able to identify early and rescue to really prevent a movement down that slippery slope or mortality. Next, I would say, we'd like to use data from all of our comparative databases, including NISQIP, so we've actually been focusing on our surgical mortality as well. Again, a way to really capitalize on processes that you already have in place. Now, the next few slides, I'm just going to ask my advancer to move through, and they are just an example of how we've been able to take the evidence and translate it into stroke care to really make sure that when patients come to our hospital with a stroke, they get everything that they need to get. Next, please. Next. Just an example, and this is kind of how we really work our process. This is our issue. This is the evidence to manage our issue, and this is how we move it through our system from evidence right to the bedside for clinical integration. You can keep going. Going. I think this has got four or five. Because I know our time is short here. Next. I know, I hate these automatic things. Just keep going. I don't know why it didn't come like this, but you guys must have magic stroke. Keep going. I just want to make sure that the last speaker has an adequate amount of time. Next. Are we stuck?
There we go.
Okay, keep going. Good job. Who's advancing, Pat?
Patty.
Patty, you're doing a great job. Keep going. Again, just an example of using electronic order entry to drive clinical practice right to the bedside, using reliability principles. Build it how you want it to happen, you know, as Patty talked about. Now, we did the MHA assessment tool, and it really is, again, another validation where we are, that we're on the right track, and still gives us some areas to continue to focus on. You know, we ended up being a 4 at 43, but we know we still have areas. And some of that is sustainability over the next 3 to 4 years. You know, we've got some things in place, but we do have some tweaking that we want to do around some of those processes. So it was a great time to do a reassessment since we had done a lot of work with other entities, and it really did echo the fact that we've done a lot of work, but we still have a lot of work to go. Next, please. Our follow-up mortality grid, you'll see we had some changes, and we actually wanted the changes. We saw it go in the right direction, and probably the most significant thing was our comfort care-only patients. We had an increase in 42% of those patients outside of critical care. And so we were really not taking those end-of-life patients who didn't need to go to critical care into critical care. And this was a positive and has actually really helped kind of lay the case for palliative care team, which we have coming up in the next couple of months. Next, please. Just some run charts to talk about how, you know, these things are serious. Not only are they hospital-acquired conditions and infections, but they also cause death. So, again, the focus we've had on these things is really, as you can see, related to our decreasing mortality, and we've had a lot of success with the focus. When you manage it, when you measure it, you can certainly maintain and modify and really get those numbers down. Next, please. You know, Pat had talked about, Cynthia had talked about her rapid response team. You know, we've been very lucky when we started before we had our rapid response team. We had 8 codes per 1,000 patient days. We're now just around 3. Part of our success has really been we have an automatic early warning system through our electronic medical record, and it really has helped people identify sooner, much sooner rather than later, as well as put in a family activated a ability to call the RRT. Next, please. And just a couple things again. Next, just some data. I just wanted to throw in here to see the improvements that we've had. And then the next couple slides are just looking at our next, please, my dears. Electronic dashboard around harm, effectiveness, efficiency. One more. Next. 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 And then the last thing, I know I've been on for a while, is you have to stay vigilant. You have to do those mortality reviews. And there's nothing like doing the mortality review with the clinical team. It really is an eye-opening experience. We do mortality reviews within 2 to 3 days of the patient's death so that the clinicians still remember the case and really can talk about if there were systems issues or processes that need to be focused on. You know, the process, it's all done by chart review and the PI structure, and if we do find a personnel-related thing, that goes through our performance improvement structure. Anytime we learn something, we identify those lessons, we have action plans in place, and we push it back through our educational process as well as our clinical care process to make sure that we get learnings out of that. So in all, I would just say, you have to do it. You have to continue to do it. You're always going to learn something, and it's just part of what we need to do to make sure that we can put our arms around and capture mortality reduction. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Jan, and you did great with time, so we appreciate that. Okay, now our last speakers for the afternoon are Elmi Trevejo and David Morales, as I said, from Brigham and Women's Hospital, and they will be speaking to Hospital Mortality Program, a model for tracking and learning from hospital inpatient deaths.
Great. Thanks, Patty. On behalf of Alan Gachalia, David Rosales, and myself, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to share our work. Unfortunately, Alan, who is our medical director of patient safety and quality, he wasn't able to join us today. So really, I want to share with you, this presentation is really going to focus on one area of the MLINK assessment tool, which involves mortality risk assessment and surveillance. Although we have many other areas of mortality prevention in place in terms of our improvement efforts, for example, the VAT bundle and work on CLIPSI, we want to share details about a tool that we've created to collect information related to the deaths at our institution. So, based on that, if you could just advance the slide. So just to give you a little bit of background information, back in the fall of 2009, it was Alan that began thinking about how we could standardize a process to review all inpatient deaths at Brigham and Women's Hospital with a focus on preventable deaths. So the goal was to implement a process that would have two main objectives. For the institution, we wanted to determine the number of preventable deaths with a focus on identifying and initiating system-wide improvement efforts. And for the clinician, we wanted providers to have the opportunity to identify quality-related concerns regarding their patient's care. We also wanted to increase provider awareness of systems issues and allow the provider to request that the case be reviewed in a morbidity and mortality conference. Finally, in collaboration with our hospital's Office of Professionalism and Peer Support, we wanted to build in a feature to allow our providers an opportunity to request peer support through the review. So if you could advance to the next slide. So our first steps were to establish what individual service lines were doing in terms of mortality review, and what we learned was that the majority of departments conduct some type of review, but not all deaths are reviewed in all areas, and the focus is primarily for educational purposes and not for identifying quality-related concerns or issues. The reviews are also very disparate in nature. Also, results of these reviews are not shared with other departments, so it would be difficult to trend and identify hospital-wide quality issues. So next slide. So as you can imagine, gaining consensus for such an initiative was not an easy task, especially at a large academic medical center like Brigham and Women's Hospital. So our first priority was to garner support from the board of directors as well as various leadership groups throughout the institution. This endeavor was going to cross multiple divisions and departments, so we realized that without the support, it would be impossible for this initiative to succeed. So over a time frame of about 6 to 8 months, We worked closely with physician and nursing leadership, as well as with the residency program directors. Next slide. So based on that collaboration, we established our guiding principles for success. We knew that we wanted to create a process to review all deaths, and that asking our clinicians directly would provide us with more information than a centralized process, which normally involves a third-party chart reviewer. It was also important to us that we ask multiple members of the care team for their individual perspective regarding the case. We realized the impact that this would have on our clinicians, so in order to make this happen, it was imperative that the review be quick and efficient, knowing that the majority of the deaths at this institution are not preventable. Also, we wanted the reviews completed within a timely manner so that feedback was based on memory recall, not an extensive chart review. It was our goal that the reviews would be completed within 48 to 72 hours after the patient's death. Lastly, in order to be able to report and analyze the results, the data collection would need to be electronic. Next slide. So the information collected in the review, in terms of the data collection, our reviews cover the following system level events and issues. Healthcare acquired infections such as VAP, surgical site infection, systemic fungal infection, sepsis, CAUTI, ESBL, CLEBSI, and VRE, just to name a few. The next area focuses on complications, for example, complications related to surgery, medication administration or adverse drug events, VTE, pressure ulcers, falls resulting in injury, and then equipment or device misuse or malfunction. In terms of delays, we ask about delays in obtaining or acting on results, obtaining imagery, and other delays in treatment. We also focus on communication issues such as teamwork and transitions in care. For example, outside hospital transfers, transfers from ICU settings to step-down units and vice versa, and notification regarding changes in clinical status. Focusing on these system-level issues helped us identify improvement opportunities that we hope will assist us in our efforts to reduce preventable mortality. So we also ask our providers directly about the preventability of the death. Using a scoring system, providers are asked to opine on a scale of 1 to 5 if the death was preventable. Can we actually go back? Sorry about that. Can we go back to the previous slide? Thanks. So we ask our providers about the preventability of the death. We use a scoring system, and it's based on a scale of 1 to 5, and 1 is scored as a non-preventable death with no system issues identified, and a 5 means that it was an unexpected death with a system or a medical error present. Providers are also asked for a brief clinical summary regarding the case as well as information related to end-of-life care. As mentioned earlier, we also provide an opportunity for clinicians to identify candidates for Departmental Morbidity and Mortality Conference, and they are also able to request peer support if desired. So briefly, the next slide. I just want to go over the process. As a death happens, admitting officially discharges the patient, which sends an automatic email notification to all reviewers. This includes the responding clinician, so the intern or resident, and the attending. The email contains a link that sends the provider directly into the patient's review. They then fill out the form, and based on the scoring system, cases that have been scored preventable or those with other trigger points are then pulled for secondary review. Once completed, the data is then fed to the quality directors for each division. So some key features, the reviews are peer review protected. They're confidential, meaning that they're not shared with other members of the care team, but clinicians are aware that the information may be shared with quality improvement specialists in their area. Also, the questions should be answered based on knowledge or memory of the case, and that chart review is not required. We also added the ability for clinicians to easily add on additional reviewers if they feel that it would be helpful. For example, adding a review for a physician that was on a part of a consulting service. So next, I'm just going to hand over the presentation to my colleague, David Rosales, who is going to actually talk about the pilot.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh,
hopefully.
Yep.
Great. So I'll just run through this very quickly. Thanks, Elmi. So we began a pilot last month. This is all very new, and we're still in the learning process. And the goal of our pilot, I think Elmi mentioned that that it was imperative that the review be very easy to fill out and wouldn't sort of create a lot of extra work. And so the goal of the pilot was really to ensure ease of use and clarity. And we started with a few different services, although they did cover about 40% of inpatient deaths at the Brigham. We tried to pick a mix of different types of services, units, floor, surgical, medical, etc. Next slide. And we were pleased to learn in our pilot, and we had sort of very encouraging initial feedback and results that that the sort of purpose and content of the reviews were very clear to clinicians. This doesn't require any additional training. When they get the email, it's very clear sort of what they're supposed to do with it. So we were pleased with that. Although we did get a lot of feedback about suggestions on how to improve the formatting. We're mentioning this because the iterative nature of the process we've gone through has actually produced a much better review in the end. In terms of completion and turnaround times, we were very happy to see that our average turnaround times were well below our 72-hour target. The median is about 20 hours, and we've had a very high response rate. Over 90% of clinicians are responding to these reviews, so we haven't had to sort of go chasing after too many folks. And the time to fill out the reviews was indeed pretty short. We're getting a median of about 6 minutes, and we expect that to go down as we streamline the tool. Next slide. So, we're still early in the process, but I think we can point to a few factors that have led to success thus far. The time we spent gaining consensus on the content and the guiding principles for the tool with various stakeholders across the organization were critical, as well as clinical champions within each of the departments. We've had a great relationship with the IS team we've worked with, and as I mentioned before, the fact that we've been able to sort of go back and forth and design in a very iterative process has produced a much better result. We also designed it for measurement purposes. So I think the way that we store and structure the data has, in a very structured fashion, with very little free text, has made it very easy to produce reports. And I think there's very few examples of this type of hospital-wide process. So we're sort of on the vanguard here within the hospital. And very few things ask every clinician to do this type of additional work. But the fact that we're starting with mortality versus morbidity with a very clear patient population and sort of a universal appeal with our providers, I think, has been very helpful. Next slide. In terms of our next steps, I think we're still working out kind of what the exact process is for cases of concern as they're reported. And the overall reporting process, both of the aggregate data, we're also still working out. And there are various existing clinical quality governance bodies here at the hospital. And so as we gather more data, we'll be figuring out sort of what the right forums are to report that data, and then obviously what the process is to initiate improvement efforts based on that data. So if we refer back to the assessment tool that has been discussed in other presentations, we're probably somewhere between a 3 and a 4 when it comes to at least this particular effort. We'll also be expanding the tool to include nursing pathology in order to get autopsy results and the emergency department. And I'll hand it back to Elmi in case she has anything else to add.
No, I think that was a little summary of a good summary of what we're trying to do, and we're planning on going live with our process sometime in June, and we'll see what happens. We're really excited about this. So the next slide that's on is actually the email notification that the provider receives when the patient passes away. And as you can see, the two links are embedded in the tool in the email. So it's amazing, since our pilot, the fact that 90% of our reviews have been completed with minimal follow-up. I mean, occasionally we'll have to send a reminder email, but that has been so amazing. We were originally targeting a goal of 70%, and 90% of our clinicians feel that this is important enough, that they will stop and do it no matter what. So we're really proud of that fact.
Okay. Thank you very much, Elmi and David. We've ended in plenty of time, so we have plenty of time for questions. And also, we weren't able to access questions online if anybody did enter them, so we apologize for that. But anybody that does have questions now for any of our speakers, this is the time for you to ask them. And I would just ask the operator if you could manage that process, please.
This is the operator. Would you like all lines live, or would you like for them to come in live as they have a question?
I think probably live as they have a question.
Thank you very much. To our participants, if you do have a question, please press 0 followed by a 1 on your phone's keypad. Again, to ask a question, press 01 on your phone's keypad now. Please hold for just one moment while our system compiles your responses. And we have a question from Erin.
Hi, this is Erin Donovan at Lowell General Hospital. Thank you for the presentation. We found it very enjoyable and interesting. That last slide, the email notification, and kind of drooling over it here in our office. And we were wondering if you might be willing to share the tool that you use for your actual mortality review.
Sure. I think that was eventually our goal. We're hoping to have a finalized product probably in about 2 weeks. So right now it's still in pilot testing, and so they're constantly making changes to it. I think that once it's been finalized, I think we'd be okay with sharing it.
That'd be great. Thank you.
But that the email, that was a lot of hard work and many drafts to get it, because I think that is part of what we've learned is that we really want this system to really be self-sufficient. Like, we want it to run on its own, and there were a lot of steps along the way that really needed to be refined in order for that to happen. And the email notification was really one of the highlight of our part, because we really felt that it was it explained things well, and clinicians are responding. With little education, they're really doing this, so we're very proud of it.
As a reminder to our participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 now. We have a question from Jan Fitzgerald.
Elmi, that was great. I just want to make sure that once you get that finalized tool, would HA be able to distribute that to the listeners on the line, or to the M-Link Collaborative, or what I'd actually like to automate our process as well, and it looked great. I just want to make sure we don't lose that.
Yes, we can do that, Jan. This is Pat Noga.
Oh, great. Thanks, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pat, just remind me, so about 2 weeks from now,
I will.
We will send you screenshots of what the final product looks like.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ellie.
You're so welcome.
And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, then. Thank you again to all of our speakers and to those of you who asked questions. I hope you found this helpful. Just want to summarize that the mortality program self-assessment tool, just wanted to emphasize that it is internal use to assess opportunities for reducing inpatient mortality, and certainly the structures and processes should be linked to your strategic vision and leadership regarding your aims for mortality reduction. And as we're building M-Link, we will seek to find tools and frameworks, et cetera, that we can share with you. We're actually, as you maybe have realized, we have a lot posted on our patient care link site under preventable mortality, and we're also working on setting up a listserv, which you'll hear about in the near future. The slides and the audio link to this program will be posted up on the patient care link site within several days. So for peers that haven't been able to listen to the program, it will always be up there. And then moving to the next slide, just wanted to let you know the next program, we're collaborating with the Board of Registration and Medicine on a program June 3rd, Engaging Physicians in Healthcare Quality and Healthcare Facility Patient Safety and Quality Programs. So that will be coming up, and that information is posted on our site. And lastly, we will be sending you an online survey and asking for your feedback about this program so we can assess how we did and meet your needs and obviously work to improve future programs for you. And please keep in mind the Patient Care Link site for any upcoming offerings and resources, and also certainly email any one of us here at MHA for questions. We'll be happy to help you out. And I think that concludes our program. Thank you very much for your attention, and glad that you were able to join us.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.